An Observer's Guide to Love-Struck Cultivators by Café Cliché, read by Juniper Phoenix. Chen Wo isn't worried when Lan Wangji and Wei Wuxian disappear into the lower fields following the growls of a fierce corpse. Or rather, Qingyang isn't worried, so there's no reason he should be either. Even after 5 years of marriage, Chen Wo still feels most days like he doesn't know very much at all about Qingyang's former world. But he knows his wife. She points the way, and he follows. It's the simplest thing there is. Though he's not wholly lost here, if nothing else, he knows the reputations of Han Guangjun and the Yiling Laozi. He's still a bit lost when it comes to what they're doing together, but he knows a fierce corpse will barely pose a challenge. He's a little surprised when they bring said fierce corpse back to his door. But Qingyang greets the three of them with a warm smile and a nod of her head, so that's what he's going to do too. "Wen Gangze," Qingyang says. "It's good to see you." The fierce corpse smiles back. His movements are stiff and his shoulders a little hunched, like he's trying to blunt his massive height. "Luo Gunyang," he says. "I'm sorry for scaring all of you." Wei Wuxian's smiling, too. Granted, he's been smiling the entire time he's been here, but now he looks how Chen Wo feels when Mian Mian is brave enough to play with the kids down in the village. "We just wanted to let you know all was well. Your fields should be completely safe, thanks to Wen Ning." He sways a little forward to pat Wen Gongzi's shoulder. "But we should hurry up and take our leave, shouldn't we, Lan Zhan?"
"Are you sure?" Qingyang says. "You'd be welcome for dinner."
"We need to reach the burial mounds as soon as possible," Lan Wangji says, with a regretful incline of his head. Qingyang nods, as if Lan Wangji had not just announced his intention to travel to the setting of Chen Wo's third worst recurring nightmare. "Then take something with you, at least. Our neighbors made us some zongzi for taking care of their mountain demon problem last month. There's enough to feed a village in there. Much more than we can eat, for sure." Wei Wuxian's mouth is already half open when Lan Wangji cuts in. "That would be appreciated, Luo Gunyang," he says. "Wei Ying is recovering from an injury." It wasn't as if Chen Wo didn't believe Qingyang when she told him that Wei Wuxian was really a good person. It was more that he'd figured that there were people out there in the world who were both good and terrifying. Watching him gape at Lan Wangji right now, though, he can't help but wonder if the fearsome Yiling Laozi isn't terribly fearsome up close.
"Lan Zhan," Wei Wuxian says, "I'm already recovered."
Lan Wangji looks unruffled. "Nevertheless," he says, "you need to eat."
"I ate earlier," Wei Wuxian protests. "I had an apple."
"Half an apple," Lan Wangji says. "You fed the rest to your donkey." Chen Wo swallows and carefully looks at neither of them. Yes. Maybe not very fearsome at all. But also, maybe he just had to be there. Wei Wuxian looks more than willing to continue this particular argument, but Lan Wangji smoothly cuts him off. "If you'll excuse us," he says, so quietly decisive that it's hardly an interruption. Chen Wo can see that air about him that people talk about. The one that comes to your village and tells you, against all odds, that you'll be safe. Wei Wuxian looks the opposite of assured, though.
"Ayo, Lan Zhan, you can't just go walking around other people's..."
As Lan Wangji sweeps down the hallway in a billowing cloud of white, Wei Wuxian shoots a quick, sheepish look over his shoulder.
Sorry. Let me just... I'll go make sure he doesn't rob you out of house and home, shall I?"
Qingyang stifles a laugh as she watches him go. "Honestly," she says, "Wei Gangze, I expect. But even Han Guangjun forgot to ask where he was going."
"I'll go," Chen Wo says. "I'm sure you want to catch up with Wen Gangze."
Wen Gangze's eyes stiffly flick between Qingyang and Mian Mian, who's materialized behind her mother's legs to survey their new guest. Chen Wo looks to their daughter as well, but there's only curiosity on her face, no fear to speak of.
She always follows her mother's lead, too. Wenganza still looks hesitant, though. I can wait outside, he says, if you like. Wenganza, you'll hurt my feelings. Qingyang's smile spreads as she gives Mian Mian a nudge. Stay. Mian Mian would love to meet you, if that's okay. Chen Wo makes his tactful exit. And as he heads down their short, narrow hallway, he hears Wengongza's soft voice saying, It's very nice to meet you, Mian Mian. Smiling, Chen Wo rounds the corner. As cozy as he personally finds their home, it's not terribly big. Judging by the voices up ahead, Lan Wangji and Wei Wuxian have clearly found the kitchen. But judging by the light clattering sounds, they haven't found where Qingyang stored the Zongzi. Exaggerate like that. For a second, Chen Wo thinks he's about to walk in on an argument. But Wei Wuxian's tone is still light, teasing. You'll scare Xiao Mian Mian. She may not like me very much now, but I see this all the time. If she thought I was injured, she'd realize that I'm actually very likable after all. And then it'd be floods of tears. Am I? Lan Wangji doesn't exactly sound like he's arguing either. Or even angry, for that matter. Though Chen Wo thinks that if Han Guangjun asked him such a direct question, he'd collapse into dust. Exaggerating. Han Guangjun, Han Guangjun, Wei Wuxian says fondly. Is my word not good enough for you? Or maybe I really should strip this time. Lan Shan! There's a clear rustle of fabric. And in one frantic, windmilling leap, Chen Wo hurls himself back around the corner. He grew up with three older sisters. There are a few rules he still holds close to his heart. Some conversations you shouldn't interrupt. And you should keep your distance when someone's bare chest is on display. You offered, Lan Wangji says serenely. I thought it was a threat, Wei Wuxian says. Lan Wangji lets that pass with a few brief beats of quiet. Your bandages look clean. I could have told you that. There's another pause, a few more fumblings of cloth. Wei Wuxian is probably dressed again, but it's probably best to stay put, just in case. Lan Zhan, it's been days. The wound's fully closed. It has, Lan Wangji agrees. There's a soft note to his voice now. Just days. Wei Wuxian lets out a slow breath. Ah, he says, now you sound like Wen Xing. Wen Gunyang was often right. She'd have been happy to hear you say that, Wei Wuxian says. Chen Wo knows enough to know the tyrannical, bloodthirsty Wen sect by reputation, too. But he hears the careful way Wei Wuxian holds Wen Xing's name. He thinks of the fierce corpse in the other room, trying to seem smaller in front of their daughter. He makes a note to ask Qingyang later. You said yourself, Lan Wangji says at length, that this body is weaker.
I didn't say that, Wei Wuxian says. When did I say that?
The steep hill a few li from here, Lan Wangji says. You had to dismount Xiao Pingguo to help me lead him. You cursed Mo Xuanyu's stamina at least twice.
Lan Zhan, Wei Wuxian says, a little helplessly. That was a joke.
Is all Lan Wangji says to that. Wei Wuxian huffs a laugh.
Hey, why are you smiling like you just proved a point?
I'm not smiling at all, Lan Wangji says, which catches Chen Wo off guard. The Lan sect famously doesn't lie, but Han Guangjun's smile is audible.
Tiana!
Wei Wuxian steps into view as he slumps back against the kitchen table, the picture of defeat.
Does Lan Xiansheng know what a menace he's raised?
Fine, I'll tell you if it hurts. I'll complain until you beg me to stop. I would appreciate that, Lan Wangji says. Still out of sight, and still with that smile cradled in his voice. Very much. Wei Wuxian shakes his head. His own smile curls into something quieter. Really, he says. Absolutely impossible.
and for a moment, it's still. Still enough that Shen Wo has to breathe very carefully into the silence.
Qingyang has never told him what her life used to be. Not completely. Rather, he hears about parts of it, brief moments, the way that stories escape you in bits and pieces when there's too much of them to tell. He's heard about the stairs at Jinlintai, how her littlest Shimei would get too tired to climb halfway up and make Qingyang carry her the rest of the way. He's heard about her Shizhong, the sect heir, her best friend, stuffy and arrogant at first glance, but with a good heart he could never quite manage to stamp out. He heard about the woman the sect heir married just a few months after Qingyang left, the engagement he'd been fighting for years. She was quiet, and her cultivation wasn't strong, but the depth of her kindness was something rare. Qingyang always worried that he'd never see it. When it came to how she left, though, they've only talked about it once. I realized I didn't understand what we were doing. She'd been looking down the lower fields at something far beyond both of their sights. I didn't want to understand. Chen Wo had thought, then, that if Qingyang didn't understand cultivators, he never would. But he thinks he gets it now, what she was trying to tell him. It was never the people she didn't understand. The people, her Shimei, the sect heir and his wife, the two most infamous cultivators of their age, were just people. And as he watches Wei Wuxian's face around the corner of the door, soft and slightly pink around the edges, Chen Wo thinks, ah. They're right here, Lan Wangji says. Wei Wuxian blinks. Hmm? The Zongzi, Lan Wangji says. Wei Wuxian shakes his head once, as if to clear it, and then moves out of Chen Wo's line of sight. Oh, so they are. A little more brightly, he adds. And here I thought Da Mianmian was just being polite, but this really is enough to feed a village. It is, Lan Wangji says. Look at these, so nicely wrapped, Wei Wuxian says. Da Mianmian's neighbors must really respect her. I mean, of course they do. Yes, Lan Wangji says again. They're fortunate to have her. Hmm, Wei Wuxian says. A nice thought, right? What is? Lan Wangji says. You know, Wei Wuxian says. A house of your own. Neighbors to make you Zongzi. A little one running around. Lan Wangji may not be a very demonstrative person, but Chen Wo doesn't miss the quiet breath in, then out. Yes, is all Lan Wangji says to that. Carefully, Chen Wo eases himself away from the door, back toward the corner leading to the hall. There's no need for him to be in the kitchen anymore. And if there's one more thing he learned from his older sisters, it's the value in pretending you heard nothing at all.
Xiao Mianmian, Wei Wuxian wheedles. Are you going to wave goodbye to me this time?
Mianmian. Qingyang gives Mianmian a bracing little bounce in her arms. When Mianmian's face only puckers into a frown, she laughs. Sorry, I think that's all you're getting. You know what? That's fair. Wei Wuxian stands with his back to the field, his features partially obscured in a brilliant red sunset. Chen Wo sees it now, a little, the imposing figure this person could cut, in the right circumstances. He almost can't see Wei Wuxian smiling in this light, just the outline of it.
Mianmian family, he says, you've been more than hospitable. We won't trouble you any longer.
You know it's no trouble. Qingyang salutes as best she can with her arms full of their daughter. Her own smile wobbles for a moment, looking between them. It was good to see you. All of you.
Lan Wangji's severe face is gentle as he nods in return.
Take care, Luo Gunyang.
Thank you, Luo Gunyang. Thank you, Chen Luo Gunyang's husband. Wen Gongzi winces, but Chen Wo just shakes his head and shrugs. It's as good a title as he's ever heard. Wen Gongzi shifts his gaze to Qingyang's arms and stoops a little, his stiff face suggesting a smile.
Mian Mian, be good to your parents.
Mian Mian squirms once, as if to turn away. But as Wen Gongzi takes a step back, she mumbles into her mother's shoulder.
Bye-bye, Wen Gongzi.
Wei Wuxian's laugh echoes down the fields as the three of them turn from silhouettes into indistinct lines in the sunset.
Aya, Chen Wo hears him say. All that worrying, and then you turned out to be her favorite.
Chen Wo waits to turn to his wife until he can no longer hear them at all. They're good people, he says.
Qingyang,
her own face still fixed forward, nods. They are.
Wei Gege is loud, Mian Mian says.
Is he? Qingyang laughs, as if she didn't notice. Well, next time we'll just have to tell him to keep it down, won't we? She shoots Chen Wo a conspiratorial grin. And maybe by then I'll finally be congratulating them on their wedding. Chen Wo isn't sure how long he stares at her. Long enough, at least, for the sun to have started slipping below the hill.
Wait, he says.
What?
I know it's hard to believe with their reputations, Qingyang says. But they're really... Chen Wo likes to think he's a pretty good judge of people. That is, he's good enough to have seen exactly what Qingyang is talking about. The care, the ease, the fondness, the bare chest. It's not like he can give himself that much credit on that front, though. The thing is, it's very, very obvious. He could stand on the mountaintop and see it.
So how? That is, why?
He blinks and finds Qingyang and Mian Mian's twinned curious stares on him. So he clears his throat and manages.
Are they not married already?
Qingyang blinks. And then she laughs so hard that Mian Mian squirms to be put down.
Oh, she gasps as she sets their daughter on her feet. Oh, honey, I know.
Chen Wo looks back to the rapidly darkening fields, where the wind has started to fill in the footsteps in the dirt path.
Qingyang, he says dully,
it is possible that cultivators aren't much smarter than anyone else.
When Qingyang rises to her tiptoes to kiss his cheek, he can still feel the tremble of her laughter.
Yes, well, she says, don't tell anyone.
The end.